Father, we ask of you, Lord, tonight, just the desire, Lord, for us, we, your people, to be near you. That, Lord, you'd manifest your presence here tonight by your Holy Spirit's ability, Lord. How you do what you do is beyond us, and we love that about you, God. You're able to touch us exactly where we're at. We ask you, Father, that you would bring your healing touch, Lord, to all that are in need right now tonight. Father, for the person that might be here, for the person that's viewing right now, Lord God, that's in need, maybe, Lord, guidance. We see the turmoil of our nation tonight and the fear in the lives of people faced with incredible ultimatums that we never thought that we'd see in this country. God, tonight we're asking you from this little corner of this continent, in this little building, in this little pin drop of a point of a place, that Almighty God, you would intervene right now, and God, that you would turn the tables over, that moms, just like I saw tonight on the news, a pregnant 7-month pregnant nurse being fired today because she wouldn't take the vaccine during her pregnancy. This stuff's happening across our nation right now, people. Lord, we are being molested by our own government. And if it wasn't for the church and its existence and your promise, Lord, to say the gates of hell will not prevail, we would all be, Lord, castaways at sea, as it were, without a rudder. But Lord, tonight, we are here not moved by fear. We're not here tonight moved by the threats of man. We're grieved tonight, Father, that there are so many good people that don't know you tonight. Yes. I was going to say tens of thousands, but Lord, we're talking about 100+ million people who are workers for bread and food on the table, that are facing uncertainty on Monday morning by this national edict. We sang tonight, and perfectly so, it's your glory that we long for. We've had a sample of it, but we long to see you and all of your fullness and glory. We can't wait. God, how is it that for all of us, Lord, it's percolating within us. We are getting very, very anxious in a good way to go home to a place we've never been. How is that? And so we pray your Holy Spirit would come and bring peace that passes all understanding and guidance. And Lord, like you did in the days of old when Egypt was shrouded in a divine, miraculous judgment of darkness, all of your children in their tents, in their homes, lean-tos, whatever they had as slaves in Egypt, they all had light. You illuminated their dwellings while Egypt was being choked by darkness. And we're asking you to do that, Lord, here in America. We're asking you, Father, though we are sinners and we have sinned greatly against you as a nation, as a state, as a church. We're asking you, Lord, to be merciful to us. We're asking you, God, to intervene. And Lord, that none of us would lose heart. And Lord, too, I'm reminded of that man Sunday night on the street talking to that man from Australia who said, "I'm not going back. I can't go back to my country." And he's all excited about the freedoms that we have in America. And I told him, "Are you kidding me? You think this is freedom? You should have come here 20 years ago, 50 years ago." But for him, this is a better place. But for us, Lord, heaven's a better place. Yes. So, Father, we pray tonight, just this special time. God, I don't know. It's just be very, very present tonight, church. I'm just going to ask you to sit quietly, please, if you would, and my heart's in a different place tonight, and I've got to trust God that guys, we have the announcements. I don't want to do the announcements right now. Maybe we'll do them later. So, and maybe this dovetails perfectly into where we're at this evening in the book of Hebrews. In Hebrews chapter 2 verse 4, we were touching on that last time together, and it's an amazing thing because right there in chapter 2 verse 4, there's this reference that the author of the book mentions, and I'll read it to you. If you have your Bible open, you can grab it. It says there, God also bearing witness. God also bearing witness both with signs and wonders and various miracles. And here it is. And gifts of the Holy Spirit according to his own will. So the argument in the book of Hebrews up until this point is the fact that Jesus Christ and everything that he is better. The author, and I believe it's Paul. I mean, it doesn't matter. You might believe it's somebody else. The author, whoever wrote Hebrews, doesn't announce himself. But so forgive me in advance if I attribute it to Paul. I have strong reasons to believe it's Paul. Whoever the author is, he himself is Hebrew. He knows everything about the Hebrew scriptures and the Hebrew traditions and everything about the Jewish people, and he speaks to that with authority. But whoever he is, he's born again. And that's not the only reason why I think it's Paul, but he's articulating that Jesus Christ is so much better than Moses. The message of the gospel is so much better than the law. That everything that you have done outwardly has been by your own religious act or practice. Now, listen, let's be careful when I say this. He's announcing to them that your ordinances that you followed, though commendable, translate zero into your salvation. He tells them that you, in your attempt to keep the law, have really become frustrated because you know that the law is perfect, but you're imperfect. And he tells them about this Jesus whose ministry is greater than angels. That his ministry is greater than any and all priests of all of man's religions. That it's this Jesus whom the entire Bible is written about is better, is the best. And in that, he gives the best. So when he says here, at the latter end of verse 4, that he has shown these powers and these wonders, these miracles, and gifts of the Holy Spirit according to his own will. This is a remarkable statement. Because the Jewish people, the Jewish scriptures, never taught from Genesis to Malachi, the Old Testament scriptures never taught that there would be an outpouring of the Holy Spirit regarding gifts. The book of Joel, Old Testament, says that in the last days before Messiah sets up his kingdom, that there's going to be an outpouring of miraculous acts of God. But nobody saw that it would come through God's people directly. They assumed up until the giving of this word that God would supernaturally reveal and manifest himself like he did in the wilderness. He would be a pillar of fire and a cloud. That he would open up the ground, or he would send lightning bolts out of nowhere, out of nothing. That he would cause these things and these miraculous things. And there's no doubt, God not only did those things, we know from the book of Revelation, he's going to do them again. But there's this thing right here that for me, at this time of where we're at as a church, we cannot let that go without spending time on it. And that is the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Verse 4, incredible. So church, let's look at this together. And let's be, I'm not in the preachy mood tonight. Have you noticed that? I want to, that worship touched my heart. This is maybe a night that just doesn't go beyond us. How's that, you know? Because what if tonight God wants to do a work in your life that hasn't yet been done and he has a plan to do it? What if tonight you're here and you are happily, what's the word? Is dissatisfied the right word? Happily, not content? That you're happily desiring more. When I say happy, you're glad to be a believer, but you're fed up with where you're at in your walk with God. That there's, you know, down deep inside, there's got to be more. There's got to be more. So I'm going to ask you guys to consider the first passage of scripture. Let's kind of walk through a few things together. It's Acts chapter 1, verses 4 through 8. If you'd like to write that down, we'll have it on the screen. But let's just take a special night to do a special thing tonight. So scripture says in the book of Acts, chapter 1, verses 4 through 8, and being assembled together with them, so that is the apostles are with all of the disciples, meaning the apostles, the 12, are with all of the followers of Jesus. Okay? If you were a follower of Jesus in those days and not one of the 12, you were a disciple. And it's a precious thing, a disciple. I think today we would mostly relate to the word or the relationship between a journeyman. Anybody in contracting or that kind of a world, right? So you have the journeyman and you have the what? Apprentice. And the apprentice, this is actually what it means. The apprentice takes his hand, and it's his hand is here. Watch. And the journeyman takes his hand. Now, the journeyman is the one that is the skilled expert at the craft. The journeyman puts his hand on the, let's just say, wood or the stone. And the apprentice puts his hand on top of the journeyman's hand. And the journeyman's hand goes through the motions of his craftsmanship. Okay? And then the journeyman takes the apprentice hand and puts it on the same work, but now the journeyman's hand is on the top. And they go through the same motions until both of them are in concert together in what they're doing. This is what a disciple, this is what we strive to be as followers of Jesus. Okay, so being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father. So Jesus is speaking to the 12 and all those gathered together, which he said, you have heard from me, for John truly baptized with water, John the Baptist. But you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Therefore, when they had all come together, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, and I love this, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? Makes total sense to me. Jesus is resurrected from the dead. Everything's going perfect. Let's beat the snot out of Rome, send them back to Italy, and let's get this kingdom life underway. Great, great idea. Just 2,000 years too early. And he said to them, it is not for you to know the times and the seasons which the Father has put in his own authority. But, it's like, okay, but, got some good news for you guys. You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea, in Samaria, and to the end of the earth. All the way out, okay? So Jesus makes this statement. Go wait in Jerusalem. The Holy Spirit of power is going to come upon you. Why? It's not for you to know the times and the seasons. Now look, you and I know a lot. We can comment on that a lot. Translation, modern day, 21st century. Hey guys, I have got a mission for you that will completely transform the world for both time and eternity. It is going to be the most successful venture that the world will ever know. But we're not selling anything. There'll be no marketing group. There'll be no strategist. There'll be no branding. And this is how it's going to come down. I want you guys to go wait in Jerusalem. I'm leaving. I'm going back to heaven where I came from. You guys wait there. And I'm going to send you all the power you need to accomplish something you have no idea what you're getting yourselves into. And when that power comes, you will be transformed in such way that you will do things that are beyond human abilities. But all the while, you'll know that you're not the one doing it. Amen. And so look at Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2, beginning at verse 1. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord and in one place. That's sweet. One accord. They were all with the same mindset. And then this mindset was simple. Here we are. We've been waiting. It's been 50 days. He told us to wait. We're waiting. Do we all agree that we're waiting? Yes, we all agree that we're waiting. We're in one accord. We've all been here. love that. What happened when you had to go get something to eat? Or did they send somebody out to bring food in? No. No, Grubhub, no. No, Uber Eats. They're waiting. Jesus said, go to Jerusalem and wait. The power's going to come. I wouldn't even want to leave the room. Where's the bathroom from this room? It's amazing to be thinking what they might be thinking at that time. Notice what happens. Suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. It wasn't mighty wind. It was like, we talked about this last week a bit, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues of fire. It's kind of a weird thing, tongues of fire. It just simply means that the way that a flame flickers. Don't think for a moment that there was some manifestation of some tongue on fire over their head. Like cooked tongue. That's not what's happening. It's like fire that flickers. This is over them. And sat upon each of them. So it's extremely supernatural. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. By the way, that's how we know Jesus made it to heaven. You ever think about that? What's the proof that Jesus Christ made it to heaven? He says, I'm leaving. I'm going to go back to heaven. And they saw him disappear up into the clouds. The proof that he made it is that the Holy Spirit came down. Right? And so they're all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit, Holy Spirit, gave them utterance. Now watch this. And they were all dwelling in Jerusalem, Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. Why? Because it's the holy days. They've immigrated for the holy days. Josephus tells us there's an estimated 2 to 3 million people in Jerusalem, surrounding in the hills, that have made encampments. They've tabernacled there. And so, verse 6 says, and when this sound occurred, the multitude came together. Wow. And were confused, because everyone heard them speak in his own language. Think of this. Then they were all amazed and marveled, saying to one another, look, are not all these who speak Galileans? So pause right here for a moment. Yeah, I mean, keep that up. Everybody listen. How many of you come from Pentecostal backgrounds? Don't be shy. Raise your hand. Pentecostal backgrounds. Foursquare Church, anybody? You know that? Okay. Pentecostal Church. Assembly of God, anybody? Assembly of God. Okay. Presbyterian, raise your hand. Presbyterian background. Catholic background? Wow. Oh, wow. That makes me feel so good. Oh, man, that's awesome. Because listen, if you guys go tell your friends, because the Catholic Church is a sleeping giant, man, if it gets a hold of the truth, Baptist, raise your hands. Brethren, raise your hands. Anything else? Am I missing anything? I probably am. Lutherans, raise your hand. One, Luther, there you go. I'm kidding. Am I missing something? Methodists? Well, Mormonism's a cult, but... No, but it's a different Jesus. But listen, this is cool because this is my point. These doors are open for you to come in here and learn and listen and glean from the Bible. By the way, when I say cult, I mean this. I don't mean to say it in a hurtful way. A cult is a belief system that takes away from the unique deity of Jesus Christ. In other words, it takes away from the deity of Jesus by either saying he is not deity or he's one of many deities. Okay, so I just want to make sure. So here's what's going on. And this is interesting because this is peculiar to say the least. And I might shock some of you. How many of you are Calvary Chapel origins? Raise your hands. So we have more. Wow. So we've got more Catholic background in this room than. So my cup is overflowing right now. So watch this. You're going to see something in a moment that maybe you've never seen before. But let's let the Bible speak to us. So whoever these people are from all over the place, we're going to find out exactly where in a moment, they were all amazed and they marveled. And they said to each other, look, are not all these who speak Galileans? Translation. All of these people speaking in languages that we understand in our own tongue, these are a bunch of uneducated people. That's what that means. If you were called a Galilean 21 centuries ago, that's not a good thing. And how is it that we hear each in our own language? Okay, you see this? Watch this. The Galileans are speaking. And whatever they're saying, the audience can hear what's being said in their own language. Look at the Bible. So these people are wondering, this is bizarre. These guys are speaking perfect Latin, for example. But they don't know Latin. But it's perfect. And I understand exactly what that guy's saying, and he's a Galilean. In our own language, in which we were born, Parthians and Medes, Elamites, those from the region of Persia, those dwelling in Mesopotamia, this is a huge area, the cradle of civilization region, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, Asia. These Galileans are speaking languages that are from Asia. And we understand exactly what they say because we're from Asia. How can this possibly be? Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt. Watch how specific. And the parts of Libya adjoining Cyrene. They knew that in perfect clarity. Visitors from Rome. Both Jews and proselytes, or those who have converted to Judaism. Cretans and Arabs. We hear them speaking in our own tongues, our own languages. Watch. The wonderful works of God. So these Galileans spoke in perfectly articulated known world languages. These were not languages of angels. These are all earthly languages that you hear. Verse 12. So they were all amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, whatever could this mean? Translation, the Holy Spirit is starting to move for the first time in this manner, and he's using the church, the believers. And the first thing on Pentecost is that the Holy Spirit uses these followers of Jesus to speak known earthly languages to those who knew those earthly languages. And the conclusion was, these men are speaking about the wonderful works of God. Glorifying God, okay? Next is Acts chapter 2, verse 38. Then Peter said to them, by the way, you can read that later. Between these two portions I'm showing you is this incredible ministry message from Peter, which is shocking. Because up until now, Peter has faithfully made a mistake every chance he had. But now something happened, friends. The Holy Spirit came down, and Peter is no longer the big, cuddly, bumbling, well-intended goofball. Peter becomes a powerhouse. Then Peter said to them, repent. Change your minds. And let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. This translation. You confess Jesus Christ as Lord and accept him as Lord and Savior? Yes, then be baptized. The remission of sins, water doesn't take away your sins. The fact that you ask Christ to take away your sins is displayed in the outward ministry of baptism, because you put the guy in the grave and then he comes up out of the grave. It's a display of newness of life that was first done internally in the heart. Water baptism saves no one. You cannot be saved by getting wet. You must first be born again before you can be dunked. You need to know that. People have been told, well, I'm okay. I can live any way I want. I got baptized as a baby. No, you got wet. And you probably hated it too. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is to you and to your children and to all who are far off, as many as our Lord God will call. And with many other words, he testified and exhorted them, saying, be saved from this perverse generation. Hey, can I say that tonight? Be saved from this perverse generation. Oh, my goodness. Watch this. Then those who gladly received his word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. And they continued steadfast in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayers. Then fear, awe, reverential awe, came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs. It takes us right back to Hebrews 2:4, huh? Many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. Absolutely awesome. Now watch this. It's God's desire in your life, Christian, that miraculous works happen in your life. But see, when I mention the word miraculous works, some of you might go, oh boy, let's let the good times roll. Let's start the show. No. Some of you say, oh no. No, not that. When we talk about miraculous works, we're talking about yielding ourselves to God to have him use us any way he wants. And when you make that determination, God wants you to know that he has given you a gift or gifts of the Holy Spirit to accomplish what he wants to do in your life. Your life should be experiencing unique things. Let me give you an example. This is exactly what I'm talking about. Yesterday, I thought I was invited to speak at a group in Orange County. I mean, I was, and I went. I thought that's why I was going. It turned out that's not why I went. After I got done speaking, what happened for an hour and a half, almost 2 hours after I was done, was the reason why. You see, the room cleared out because what am I trying to say? I spoke during this business luncheon for all these big business people. As soon as it was done, they went back to their empires. Walking out, there's nobody else left in the room. One young man says to me with an accent, "Pastor Jack, I'd like you, I'm going to meet you. My name," and I won't say his name, but if you're watching, I do have your name memorized now. I got it. He was from Persia. And he was telling me how he met Jesus Christ. He was a Muslim, and then he became a believer, a follower in Jesus. And he was sharing. And there was another young man. I'm not going to name his name either, because I do remember his name. I've got his name. In fact, we all exchanged phone numbers. And for an hour, hour and a half, both this Persian and this Portuguese engaged in witnessing to this man from India. And the Spirit of God was moving. The two of us could tell. The two of us were witnessing to him. We'd never known each other before, never met each other before. And it was obvious the Spirit of God was moving, because it's obvious that the Spirit of God was wanting salvation for this young man. And it became very clear to me in a moment, me being here had nothing to do with what I just got done doing. This is why I'm here. But the interesting thing is I don't have the gift of evangelism. I can tell people about Jesus. So can you. And by the way, the Bible tells us that all believers are supposed to do the work of an evangelist. Evangelist is a gift of the Holy Spirit. But I'll show you something in a moment that I hope kind of puts this vividly in your mind. The point being is, as soon as this event was over, not the event with all the people, the event with the three of us, that's where the event was at. As soon as I got in my truck, I called home and said, "You won't believe what just happened." Both the believers knew God was moving. I want to ask you something. Don't answer, but listen. What I just articulated to you just now, that happens all the time. It's just with different faces, different names. Why? For this reason. I don't really care much about living my life any longer, haven't for years, for or about myself. Because, listen, that's kind of a depressing way to live. When you think about you a lot, it ain't good. But when the Holy Spirit gets a hold of you, and it's easy, you can make that determination tonight. Holy Spirit, take over my life. I want whatever he's talking about, I want that to happen. That's all he's waiting to hear from you. Something happens. And so watch this. This is God's will for your life. This, I'm going to show you a passage. It's God's will for you. Isn't that a huge statement? I mean, look, I'm not like, let me see. You right there. This is God's will for our lives. Here it comes. So next passage of scripture, 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians 12. So as I read this, don't listen. What I read to you in the book of Acts a moment ago, when they spoke in those in the known languages of the world, it was a miracle, it was a witness, and it brought glory to Christ, right? You got that? 1 Corinthians 12, verse 1. "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant or uninformed. You know that you were Gentiles carried away to these dumb idols. However, you were led. Therefore, I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed." That was an issue that was going on in Corinth, where people were having words from God and they were saying Jesus is not the Messiah, the Savior. They were saying that they had a word from God, and they were undermining the very word, the very will of God. They were false manifestations. I'm glad the Bible tells you about that, so we're on guard about it. Okay, so, and no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. What does that mean? So I've heard a lot of people say Jesus is Lord. Yeah, that's not what it means. To say that Jesus is Lord and mean it. The whole world can say Jesus is Lord. It doesn't mean that Jesus is Lord in their life. Right? Okay, next. This is so cool. There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. Watch. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. By the way, the Trinity is mentioned in there if you saw it. I want you guys to see, we'll come back to this verse 7 in a moment. You guys put that image up there. What is that? It's a rainbow. So you can't, sitting there looking at a real rainbow, this is a real rainbow. A real rainbow, it's not easy to count or to identify the colors of the rainbow so easily. This is a real one. It's not a cartoon. That would be easy. Because the lines are really clear, right? See how in a real rainbow, do you see how it's blended? So hypothetically now, before we read any further, how many of you know what your gift of the Holy Spirit is in your life? Raise your hand. You know what your gift is. That's wonderful. That's wonderful. But watch this, you guys. If all of you were able, I'm not kidding. If all of you were able to, first, I guess I should back up. How many of you are born again believers? Raise your hands. Okay. Those of us who are born again believers in Jesus, every one of us should know what our gift is. That's why we're pausing right now to flesh this out. In the size of this gathering tonight, few of you know your gift. But many of you are believers. If all of you of believers knew what your gift was, it is an understatement to say that California would shake by virtue of the move of the Holy Spirit in your lives collectively. So, I'm thrilled, and you should be too, because just this Wednesday night church, look, 12 of them full of the Holy Spirit and with the gifts changed the entire world. So watch this. You see what? I know my gift. So somebody give me a gift. What's a gift that you have? Someone. Exhortation. That's a real gift. Perfect. Got it. Okay, watch. Exhortation. Let's say exhortation is in the blue zone over here. Are you with me? Let's just follow along. She's got the gift of exhortation. And that falls in the blue spectrum of the rainbow. But to which direction? This is key. A lot of people, listen, I know this is a boring time tonight and it's not normal, but we need to have this. And here's the deal. Find out. Or when you find out, or if you know, I have the gift of evangelism. I have the gift of exhortation. I have the gift of helps. There's, well, we're going to get to that in a few weeks. But, okay, exhortation, you're making me get ahead of the game. Someone who has the gift of exhortation has the ability that is not human to speak to you in such a way that when they're done telling you what you need to do, it's a divine, they know it's loving, they know that it's caring, and it's crystal clear what was said to you, and it's kind of like a little, You are exhorted to take courage. You're exhorted to get back in the game. You are exhorted to stay in the fight. You are exhorted to stay in your marriage and make it work. You're exhorted to sign up for that. And you hear what I'm saying? The gift of exhortation. Every church must have people that have the gift of exhortation, which they would come up and speak something to you that kind of grabs you by the throat and says, yikes, you're right. That needs to happen. But here's what's amazing about every single one of us. Every single one of us have a primary calling. So let's say hypothetically, her primary calling is exhortation, and it falls into the center of the blue on the rainbow. But listen, she may have also a manifestation at times. She could say, I have at times been overcome with compassion for people to where, I mean, I almost feel like I'm losing control of myself, where I feel like, I mean, I feel like I'm hurting for them more than they're hurting for themselves. But I have the gift of exhortation. Ah, you have a secondary gift that is coming away from the bright blue, and it's coming more toward the magenta or the purple. See, what are you saying? We've got primary callings, and each of us also will at times, dependent upon you, letting yourself be used by God, secondary gifts will appear when needed or called upon. I have the gift of teaching. I know that. It's my primary gift. But yesterday I got to be a little bit of an evangelist. Do you see what I'm saying? I knew not to push it too far. I didn't call for it. The buses will wait. Just come down if you're in the upper deck. Make your way on. That's for the evangelist to say. I can't do that. But you hear what I'm saying? Every single one of us, and for us as a church to move forward, we need to know these things. So back to verse 7. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one. Raise your hands. Every single one of you are believers. Raise your hands. Each one. So look, the Bible says the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. All of us. In other words, the gift of the Holy Spirit that you have, it ain't for you to strut around and pump it up. And verse 8. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Holy Spirit, or through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit. Next verse. Or is that it? Sorry. To another faith by the same Spirit. Notice the repetition. To another gifts of healings by the same Spirit. To another the working of miracles. To another prophecy. To another discerning of spirits. To another different kinds of tongues. This is interesting now. Remember what we just read in Acts. To another different kinds. To another the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit, Holy Spirit, works all these things, distributing them. I love this. Somebody throwing out things to you, distributing each one individually as he wills. So this is awesome. Church, watch this. I want to get something off and out of the way. Number one, what you saw in the book of Acts was something that happened on the day of Pentecost. And as far as we know biblically, it never happened again. Galileans spoke perfect known global languages so perfectly that those who were of those languages understood them And they knew what was being said. They spoke about the wonderful works of God. You with me on that? You got that? But here we mention, just for tonight, we mention, and we just move on. We'll talk about it some other time. Gift of the Spirit is tongues, and another gift of the Holy Spirit is the interpretation of tongues. That's not. Listen, many of you, I hope the light comes on. This here is not Acts chapter 2 stuff. They didn't need interpreters in Acts chapter 2. Every single one of them saw Peter's mouth moving. And they saw Peter speaking perfect Elamite. Or Parthian. And they couldn't believe it. This guy's from Galilee. And I hear him perfectly. That's never again repeated in Scripture anywhere. What is repeated in Scripture is the gift of tongues and the gift of interpreting the tongue. Notice, it's not translating the tongue. It's interpreting the tongue. So some of you in life, boy, don't write, honestly, just don't write me about this. Some of you who have come from Pentecostal backgrounds have been told, oh, you know what? The last church I went to, there was a message in tongues. And that message was told to me that I'm going to marry Batman. So I'm waiting for Batman to walk through the door any day. Let me, I got news for you. You're not going to marry Batman. You want to know why? That's an abuse of the gift of the Holy Spirit. You want to know why? So how do you know? Because you can't get a message in tongues. And listen, that's not how the verbal gift of tongues and the interpretation of tongues works. Tongues is not for delivering messages. Every time a tongue is given and a translation or interpretation, excuse me, is given, 1 Corinthians chapter 14 tells you it will always be saying the same thing. And the same thing will is this. It will always give glory to God and it will always thank or praise him for his works. It's never a message. You get a message through teaching. But a lot of people have been abused by wrong theology in the gifts. I don't want to end yet. Well, okay, but hang on, because there's... Next scriptures, you guys, with the time that we do have left. Ephesians 4. So you saw a list of gifts there, by the way, right? Some will say, and I understand it, some will say there's 9 gifts. There's 9. 9 primary gifts. I understand why people say that, but there's more than 9 gifts. You should know that. And people, by the way, I like the fact that there's a debate over how many gifts there are. Because some denominations that you came from, they say, nope, there's 9. Another denomination will say, nope, there's 17. Some will say there's 13. Some will say there's 21. You know what I like about it? Nobody can pin it down. It's kind of fun. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 7. But to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Isn't that sweet? Beautiful. Therefore, he says, watch this. When he ascended on high, this is when Jesus ascended upward, he led captivity captives. Stop right there. I need all of your attention because I don't have the verbal skills to teach it. I have to use my hands. So Jesus is resurrected from the dead. Remember? And on that Sunday morning, remember when the women came and Mary, was it Mary or the women tackled him? Remember they grabbed onto his feet? And he said, don't cling to me. I've not yet ascended. Very interesting. So Jesus, post-resurrection, is appearing and disappearing throughout the neighborhood. Remember that? At one point, the disciples are hiding out because they're scared. And the door's locked. And the Bible says, and Jesus appeared. I love that. We're safe in here. Nobody can get in. And then there's Jesus. Hey, you guys. Remember that? That's when Thomas freaks. But listen, the scripture teaches that once Christ was glorified or resurrected from the dead, that he took captivity captive. You ever wonder what that meant or means? What is he led captivity captive? Yeah. Prior to Jesus rising from the dead, as a believer, when you died as a believer, you went to what the Jews call Abraham's bosom. That's what they call it. When Abraham died or Noah died, they went to this place called paradise. You can read about it in scripture. You can start in Luke 15 and read Luke 16. There's an account there, and Jesus is talking about it. When people died before Christ rose from the dead, nobody went to heaven. Nobody. There had to be the first man that was qualified to go to heaven to break the glass ceiling, so to speak, right? Because no man could go unless you have a prototype. And our prototype is Jesus. But watch this. Noah, Abraham, David, they were all together in what the Jews would say in your Old Testament. For example, Daniel, the angel told him, you've lived a long life and you will die and you will be gathered to your fathers. When Jesus rose again from the dead, one of the things that he did was he went to this place called paradise. You already know this, actually. What did he say to the thief on the cross? Jesus didn't say heaven. He said, today you'll be with me in paradise. Why? Because when that thief died, he went to paradise because he had faith in Christ. But he wasn't there very long. When Jesus Christ went to paradise, when it says he led captivity captive, it means that he... It's an old term in our filthy age today. We've changed the whole word around. It's when a military conquered an enemy, or when the king came in to take the spoils, it's called booty. When the conqueror conquered, he would take all the booty of the victory, and it was known as taking captive what you conquered. Jesus went to paradise and took Abraham and Noah and Isaiah and Jeremiah and Ruth and Boaz, scooped them all up and led captivity captive, meaning that he deposited, that they followed him, just like we're going to follow Jesus in Revelation chapter 19 down at the end of the tribulation period at the second coming. He took them, they followed him into heaven. He took them out of paradise. Paradise, listen, paradise now is empty. Read Luke 15 and 16 tonight. It's empty. When a believer dies now, you go straight to heaven. Okay? So that's the meaning of that, led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. The giving gifts to men, watch this. So Jesus ascends. He takes those who believed in him in the Old Testament era, deposits them in heaven, and sends the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. He led captivity captive, and he gave gifts unto men. Now this, he ascended. What does it mean but that he also first descended into the lower parts of the earth? Paradise. That's what we're talking about. He who descended is also the one who ascended far above all the heavens, that he might fill all things. And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. Verse 12. What for? For the equipping of the saints, for the working of ministry, and thirdly, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Isn't that awesome? Till, watch this. This is amazing. Till, hang on to your seats. Till or until we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to the perfect or complete man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Pause right there for a moment. We have 1 minute. You know, listen, there are denominations who say, oh, yeah, yeah, we believe that all the gifts of the Holy Spirit existed back then, not now. Some do, some don't. We only believe in some of the gifts. Look, there's some very famous pastors. You know their names. They don't believe in all of the gifts. They don't they don't believe in them. The list that we've been reading. Well, they have a problem. Because I got to tell you, have we all come? Has the entire church and the entire globe, have we all come to the complete man that we're supposed to be? Have we come to the fullness of the measure, the stature of Christ? Have we arrived? No. Look at that. See the word, till we all come? We have not yet all come. The gifts are given until we are all complete. And the day that we are complete is the day that you blink and you see Jesus. And you will not need any of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. You won't need them. Verse 14, that we should no longer be, look how important this is, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about by every wind of doctrine. Man, that's what's happening today because people don't know what we're talking about right now. Oh, God told me to tell you. Everybody's got a dream. Everybody's got a vision. Everybody's got a word. And we're being tossed to and fro. Look what he says. The gifts are given so that we might grow up, so that we're not tossed to and fro and carried about by every wind of doctrine, but by the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. Wow. That's why we need the gifts of the Holy Spirit in our lives. One more. 9 seconds over. This is the last one, though, so there's hope because there's no more. That's it. Romans 12. Romans 12, verses 5 through 9. I've just given you, I will have given you all the sections of the scriptures that give mention to gifts. Verse 5, Romans 12, 5. So we, being many, are one body in Christ. You can meditate on that for the rest of your life. That's deep. And individually members of one another. I think it's safe to say that verse 5 should be the vision statement, mission statement of every New Testament church. Do you realize that? If we're members of one another, look, the last thing I want to do is hurt myself. You name it. If I'm hungry, guess what I'm going to do to me? I'm going to feed me. Just like you do. But if I'm growing up in Jesus, I'm going to be more concerned about your hunger pain than I am about my hunger pain. Do you understand that? Do you understand right now? If we started doing this because this is God's will for your life, that you actually start to care more about the people around you than you than yourself as a church family. Listen, people say all the time, "Oh, yeah, you go to that church." I don't tell people, but people say, "If I'm somewhere and they don't know me, it's fun because they say, go to church." Yeah, I go to church. Where do you go to church? I go to Calvary Chapel Chinos. Oh, I would never go there. It's too big, and that. It's too big, and how can you know people if it's so big? And might I just say, well, you know what you can't? I went to a big church in Costa Mesa. But the cool thing is, it doesn't matter how small or big a church is, because people are people. What's really cool about it is, in a big church, you usually get to know about 10 or 20 people in your area, because people kind of sit in the same area, and you start getting each other's names, and it really works great. A big church feels real small when you do that. Oh, I never thought about that. I never, Lisa's always going, tell them you're the pastor, tell them. And I won't do it. I won't do it. But this is pretty awesome. If we realize we're the body of Christ, that means if I'm rude to you, according to God, if I'm rude to you, I'm being rude to Jesus. Just full on, full face, frontal rude. If I insult you, I'm insulting Jesus. We're at one. And nobody who's one cuts their hand off. Verse 6, having then gifts differing according to the grace of God, that's a biblical assumption. Paul is saying, and you know you Christians there, you guys all having different gifts. It's assumed. That is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, proclaim, heralding forth, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Or ministry, let us use it in our ministering. He who teaches in teaching. He who exhorts, there you go, in exhortation. I'll come back to this in a second. He who gives with liberality, which is very cute. A person has the gift of giving. They may be rich. They may not be rich. They may be middle class. Doesn't matter. The thing is, they're just so, because they're always looking for the opportunity to give what they have away. Just like, what do you need? You have a tire? I have a tire. $10? I've got $10. And they'll just give it. And if it's, and they love it. That's why it says with liberality. They're like, woo! Which is really cute, because, you know, it's just like, what? You need $10? Here you go. Oh, keep it. It's going to kill you. Right? If that's you, you don't have the gift of giving. He who leads, have him do it with diligence. Right? He who shows mercy with cheerfulness. Oh, isn't that beautiful? Someone who's merciful, they do that with cheerfulness. That's encouraging. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what's good. Isn't that beautiful? Let's pray. Precious Father, Lord, tonight I pray that the one who is saying to you right now, I want to know my gift. I pray, Father, that for that child of yours, that brother or sister of ours, you would reveal, Lord, your calling upon them. God, we pray, like with Paul regarding Timothy, we pray that they would experience the stirring up of the gifts that you have called them to. And Father, I pray that you'd mitigate this moment where the scripture announces to us that by the laying on of hands. I know that this big Wednesday service like this, it's not conducive to that. But Lord, would you accept this, please, that as you, Holy Spirit, would come upon each believer tonight that is asking, Lord, I want to be used by you. And I know that there's more to Christianity. And I know there's a bigger reason why I'm alive. And I want to know it. And I want to serve you in it. And I want to be free from myself. I want to be free from me. I want to be done with me. I want to be all about you, Jesus. And so, Lord, if you want me to have the gift of healing, I'll use that to your glory. If it's tongues or the interpretation of tongues, I'll use that to your glory. Lord, if it's the gift of pastor, I'll use it to your glory, or teaching, mercy, exhortation, God, I'll use it to your glory. I'll do anything you want, Jesus. Just please do it in such a way that I know it's not me, that I know it's you, that you get all the glory, and that if others are blessed, that I would know more than anyone else that this was the hand of God in my life. As we end tonight, I'm going to ask you if we would just pause for a moment of silence, actually, for you to just talk to God right now in your own silence. Ask him for what gift it is that he would have for you to discover. I'll tell you something that should, I hope, warm your heart about what you just asked him for. The scripture says that when you delight yourself in the Lord, he gives you the desires of your heart. So you know how you just asked him a moment ago to show you? He was in all that. You have been pursuing him. And so he brought you to this moment tonight. And you asking him, he has been waiting, and he knew that tonight you would ask. And the scriptures teach that he has always known what it is that you should have. James put it this way: we don't have because we don't ask. Wow. So my friend, listen, tonight, expect God to start stirring that up in your life. And in the next few weeks ahead, we're going to unpack and define these gifts. You are going to recognize your gift. And we need to be so grateful in our closing song tonight, so happy that he is a good God, and he wants good things for his children. And yep, of course, listen, there's a lot of hurting people, a lot of broken people. There's going to be a lot more. And so he is calling us to the need, right? Every single one of us. My prayer is this, that over the course of the next 2 to 3 weeks, on Wednesday nights, every single hand will be able to go up and say, I got it. I got it. And you'll never be the same. Let's stand and let's bless him with our song in closing. In Jesus' name.